Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
We are on deck, getting ready to get it started, getting ready to jump it off. We are in season two of the Author Wives season that we have going on. We just got finished with season one. Now we're moving into season two. Hello, Mr. Aaron Bebo.
Well, how you doing? I was wondering if we were having a Boss Lady concert.
Of course. It's all about Boss Lady. It's all about Boss Lady. The minute that y'all forget
that whole song.
The moment that y'all forget that, this whole thing falls apart, you know, at the seams. I know, you know me. Like, they let me run the switchboard and stuff, you know, and I just get excited because, you know, it's all happening so fast. So then I'm like, what's going on, you know? You know, that's your job. I'm usually not in charge of music. That's your job.
Yeah, I'm the DJ. She's the rapper.
Well, we up in here on Sunday night's edition live interview of Author Wives Season 2. We had a phenomenal Season 1 with Miss Know-It-All, Miss Crazy in Love, and Miss I'm Just Fine. They will be joining us again for Season 2. I cannot wait to see what has developed in their camp while we're on break in between seasons. This is going to be great. I can't wait to find out. And they might even be getting ready to release who the author is that did Miss I'm Just Fine, So Dirty. So I can't wait for that reveal. How you feel about that, Aaron?
It's going to be crazy. Like, you know, I'm always anticipating something new. I'm waiting to find out just like everybody else.
I know, right? Yes, yes, yes. I'm excited. I'm excited about tonight's show as well. I met those author wives, and I'm excited. They had a lot to say. We're going to see the dynamic of the new wives with our other wives. I can't wait to see that as well. But we're going to see what the people have to say, how they weigh in, you know, when we get this new blood up in here. I think it's going to be more drama and more secrets. How you feel, Aaron?
Definitely. Definitely going to be another action-packed season. We got some of the candidates in line. I think this is going to be crazy. And,
yes.
I'm ready to kick it off.
I'm ready to kick it off, too. I mean, you got Miss Ambitious. She about to come into the clubhouse. And Miss Big Mouth. Woo. That's a hell of a name right there. Like, what is she going to reveal? What is she going to have to say? I don't know. Miss Big Mouth. Miss Ambitious. I don't know. It might get kind of crazy. We got a Miss Know-It-All and a Miss Big Mouth. I don't know, Aaron. Well, I don't know what's going to happen after that. What you think?
It's going to be crazy. Like, I'm really anticipating a good season. Like, I love the way the show is going, the way that, you know, the people are responding to it, the direction that we're going in, how the wives are just so natural and everything is just coming together the way that it has been. Like, it's just been a blessing, really. Getting in contact.
It has. Yeah, it's going down. It's going down. And like I said, I can't wait to put these wives together and get to see how that dynamic is going to work with them all there in the studio, you know, wives, authors, baby mothers, you know, side chicks, stories to tell. And it's all going to be live here on Write and Royalty Radio. But tonight I think we have a very interesting topic, you know, bringing our new wives onto the show, bringing them into this new season. Aaron, jump this subject off for us.
I think, you know, this is a very, very, very interesting topic and subject, which is, you know, the view of the wife 40 years later, like the role of the wife now as opposed to 40 years later, like how the wife conducts herself in the home now, and just the title of wife, has it changed? Is it the same? Is the wife the same? Are the expectations the same? Has the roles changed? You know, it's been a lot of improvement, a lot of new.
Go ahead.
It's been a lot of years, and it's definitely been a lot of different changes.
When you just look at the family structure and the work structure and, you know, everything has changed. Dinner being on the table on time, something as simple as that, has definitely changed. You know, you have the woman in the workforce like never before. You have women in higher paying jobs than men. So, you know, that's crazy. But our wives got some stories to tell. You know, earlier speaking to them, I was like, ooh, it's about to go down. So I can't wait to hear, you know, their stories, jump it off, get it going. And it's going down, Aaron. It's definitely going down. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to be able to handle it. You're going to be able to handle it? Like, you're going to be in the studio with all these women, with all these great opinions. I don't know, Aaron. I don't know what to say. I don't know if you're going to be able to handle it.
Hey, I mean, I'm just there to, you know, I'm more of a referee. I got my black and white shirt on. Just watch the play.
You got your shirt on? Are you ready? You got your whistle?
Yeah. Just watching the flags.
Just watching the flags. Don't throw no flags on the field. I can see it now. Everything seems to be a foul.
I might have to throw a couple of flags on a few plays.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You always trying to throw a flag somewhere. Nobody got time for that, Aaron. You just sit there and agree with everything we have to say, and you probably are safe to get to your car when you leave the studio.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the thing. That's the definition of a man's world. There it is. Right there.
The roles have definitely switched.
Yeah, that's the new man's role. You sit there and don't say anything.
Yeah, just knock it off. Just hush.
Don't you say one word.
Don't say nothing. Yeah, don't have nothing to say. Just sit there and eat your porridge and, you know, put on your dunce hat, and that's your role. That's your job right there. That's it. But we're going to jump it off. You know, we always got to start it real hot. We're dropping some beats. So what we're first going to do is please, Miss Ambitious and Miss Big Mouth, make sure that your ones are pressed. We're going to be bringing you into the clubhouse as soon as we come back from this short commercial. And then we're going to jump this off this evening, season two, get it cracking. And I'm excited. I can't wait. So we're going to go ahead on and drop that beat, that Brandy and Chris Brown.
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it, I'ma put it down.
If you put it down right, like the way I want it, play it hard, but maybe we can fall in love. If you put it
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down, you gon' fall in love.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
Ooh, your talking is so tough, damn, I love it all. Even the way you flex, that's what turns me on.
Ooh, you know you make me weak,
just 'cause the way you are. 'Cause everybody in here knows that you're a star.
And still I'm letting you know,
I got the sweetest heart. Any man that wants a babe,
he gon' have to work hard.
From what I see, you got what I want. That's just half the part. I gotta see what you put on it to make sure you're the one.
If you put it down right, like the way I want it, play it hard, but maybe we can fall in love. If you put it down, if you put it down, if you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down,
you gon' follow me.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down,
you gon' fall in love.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
I hope the chivalry ain't dead to you, boy, 'cause I'm grown. Got to pull up and then come up with that when I see what I want. Gotta go old school with me sometimes. Still keep it so 2012 for me, 'cause I still beef it up. And still I want you to know, got the sweetest heart. Even though he can ride a coupe for me,
he gon' have to work hard.
And now I see you got what I want. That's just half the part. Gotta feel what you put on it to make sure you're.
If you put it down right, like the way I want it, play it hard,
maybe
we can fall
in love.
If you put it down,
so baby put it down.
If you put it, maybe we can fall in love.
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down,
you gon' fall in love.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down,
you gon' fall in love.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
Why you playing? Girl, you know, with all this money and all your cake, girl, you better stop, I got a big ego. I'm sipping on that brandy, that liquor comes in handy. And girl, I know you fancy, but this party I'm financing. She told me it ain't even like that. Been hating all night, her friend up tight, alright. I took her out the club, told her girl she be right back. Back to the crib, and in the morning all this was worth it. Baby, go get your hair did, then buy you a couple purses. You just perfect.
You gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down. You gon' fall in
love.
If you put it down right, like the way I want it, play it hard, but maybe we can fall in love. If you put it, put it, put it. If you put it, put it.
Putting it down. I think that that's a lot of what's going on, Aaron. I think people are putting it down and people are falling in love. They're pretty much ignoring all that other stuff. If you putting it down, they fall in love. Don't start your mess, because you, as you know, I will cut right up. He fell in love with a man. That's how it be, too. And our pimp voice. They don't know about that. They don't know about that. Lord have mercy. But I think that that is what's going on, Aaron. I don't know. I think they're training love and for who can put it down the best. And we have two wives. They're going to get ready to come in here and tell us how they hung in there so long. Did he put it down, or are they really in love? Like, did they ignore the signs? Are they really in love, or did they fall in love with that thing? I don't know. We're about to find out about what wife and marriage and stuff is 40 years later. What the scope is? What's going on? So we're going to get ready to bring Miss Ambitious and Miss Big Mouth into the clubhouse. Let's bring them in. Hello, 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 wives. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hello, ladies.
Are you?
This year.
You doing
your pastor? It's your pastor and marriage counselor.
Okay.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Oh, I feel it. I feel it already.
Yes, he's about to cut up. I just hope you guys are ready.
Nah, let me ask you, ladies. What do you think? What's your view on marriage, like, from 40 years ago to maybe now? I mean, I'm not knowing. I don't know you know, your ages or anything. But, I mean, from the time that you were a little girl to now, has your perception on what a wife is or the wife's role in the household changed much from the time you were a little girl to being a grown woman and now being married?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
I definitely feel that now we're in an age where stay-at-home husbands, it's what's in. You know, it's definitely nothing wrong with that. You know, when I was a little girl, all I could see was, you know, the men going out working and the women staying home and, you know, breeding the babies and, you know, to everything, anything in the household. But nowadays, men have definitely, you know, switched and they reversed. And it is totally nothing wrong with that. I just feel like if you're happy with your situation, so be it, you know. But a lot of people look upon it, of course, but I just feel like, you know, it's your situation. You're happy with it. So it's definitely nothing wrong with it.
And which wife is this that's speaking? That just spoke. Which wife was that?
This is Miss Ambitious.
Oh, okay. So you heard her say that the man can just, you know, just sit it on down and help out with these kids because, you know, she got all this ambition and stuff going. So that's what it is. Just sit down. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be out here making this bread. When I bring it home, you cut it up and put some butter on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's go.
Exactly.
Okay, that's
exactly
how she's feeling about it. So I guess that he's putting it down and you fell in love is just not happening. Well, I don't know. We're going to have to revisit that. We're going to have to revisit that.
You never know. Yeah, we got to touch back on that because you never know. That could be it.
Yeah, you never know.
That could be the key factor. Like, yo, listen, this is why you stay home. I'm going to have you out.
I don't know. Miss Big Mouth, she better
job and end up getting a secretary. And everything goes horribly wrong.
She begs to differ. Miss Big Mouth is like, oh, no, I hear her over there grumbling and carrying on. What's up, Miss Big Mouth? What? You know what I'm saying? Let us know. How are you feeling about this whole situation?
Okay, well, I'm 24. I've been married 3 years. I got engaged when I was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a household with my grandmother and my grandfather and my mother and my stepfather. And marriage differs from watching my grandmother get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, making sure my grandfather's clothes was ironed and all of that before he went to work, to my mother being the sole provider of our 9-unit hut, and my stepfather being a stay-at-home dad with the kids. And me, I'm just, either give me your 50% or we just won't have nothing. I wash dishes.
Right.
I cook something. You're going to do something. everything we do.
I could see that. So you really ain't throwing the axes up to the man staying at home and being an at home, you know, dad or parent.
If it, like she said, it's whatever work for that couple. Like like I said, with it being the nine of us, and then there was also other my mom's siblings in the household as well that worked for us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't foresee it working for everybody.
Yeah, I guess it don't work at your house, because if he ain't got no job, he ain't going to get nothing to put on them dishes to rinse them, huh? What you saying? He's not going to be able to rinse dishes because there's nothing going on.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up, because you know what? I noticed one thing that I have really noticed as well with the change in the transition and the woman's role in the workforce and home. Is that I hear a lot of women now say things like, oh, I'm not messing with a man unless he makes this amount of money per year, or if he has this kind of job, or, oh, I ain't messing with nobody that's beneath me. Like, and they're talking in the sense of whatever they think their financial and social status is combined. Now, I'm going to tell you honestly, when I hear stuff like that kind of disturbs me, because for a long time, when women weren't in the workforce, they didn't have these expectations. They just wanted someone who was going to, you know, take care of home and provide. Once they got, you know, out into the workforce and sensed a sense of independence, it's like they wanted to become new homemakers. Like, it was like, you know what, this house was modeled, but now it's time to remodel this house. Even though everything's working fine in here, we need to remodel this thing. I want to know where that mentality comes from.
I definitely think that mentality came from the fact that, you know, so many moons ago, that as women, you know, that's how we were raised. Like, even with my grandmother coming up, with my mother coming up, you know, because I was raised by my grandmother. You know, she was older, up in age. And I would always hear her say things like, never tell a man how much money you got in your pocket. Or, you know, crazy stuff like that. Or, you know, and with me, because I'm in more so, you know, I'm in the new age, it's just like, mama, please. You know, I don't got time for that. You putting too much energy into hiding man money from the man instead of just being honest. And, you know, and she was so stuck in her ways, because that was something that they did back then. They never let their husbands know how much they had, you know, because they wanted more. And it seemed as if each and every single woman figure in my life was that way, you know, because they were older, and that was the era that they came up in. You know, you're a man, you're going to take care of me. I ain't taking care of you. I ain't even got to take care of you. I just ain't give you nothing, you know, and that's just how they were, you know. So they kind of looked down upon on any woman coming after them, you know, that was doing anything for a man, or, you know, being supportive of a man. Like, you know, I think that's where it comes from. I think it comes from the root of our mothers and our grandmothers and the age that they live in, and they try to instill it in us, you know, but it's a new era. That's not where we live in anymore, you know?
And you know what? I'm thinking, since we did bring up, you know, that putting it down aspect, I think that a lot of the dynamic that has changed in the role is this, you know, this new age sexual independence and, you know, so forth and so on, just giving people more voice and more options, and, you know, they don't have to work so hard at stuff, and, you know, different things like that. Like, you know, in your situation, like, at your worst, what is your worst? Let's talk to Miss Ambitious. What is your worst? You're in a relationship, you married, you know, you've been married for, you know, a nice little period of time. What is the worst?
You know, I definitely think that the worst is, because it's one thing for a man to be home and, you know, and he's just being home and, you know, he's taking care of the home. But it's another thing when he's home and he's just not doing anything, you know, when you're just doing everything. I think that that's the worst. I definitely think that, you know, although men do stay, some men nowadays, they do stay home, you know, it's a transition. we also have to think that it's rough on a man's ego, you know, as well, to stay home and be the house husband. You know what I mean? So I think the worst is not doing your part with, you know, taking care of be home. You know, if the woman is out and she's bringing home the bread, she should come home and expect you to bake it. And that's just it, you know. So that will be my deal breaker. You know, if you're just not doing anything and you're just, you know, I got to come home and I got to cook the bacon after I just went and made the bacon, you know, and I got to clean the bacon after I just cooked the bacon. That's the worst right there,
all right,
you know, when you're not helping.
Okay, let me ask you a question concerning more so that point right there. What do you feel about other people on the outside? Like, say, for instance, you know, your husband or your significant other is doing everything that, you know, they're supposed to be doing inside the home as a home provider. But, you know, that's really not an ideal position for a man. You know what I mean? Like, people don't look at that. You know, so that's not something idyllic because it's not, quote-unquote, traditional, so to speak. So how do you deal with that? Have you ever, or would you see yourself feeling self-conscious? Like, because you come from this strong group of women that look at you like, yeah, what the hell are you doing? Like, you breaking the mold. Like, we don't, men take care of us. We don't take care of men or, you know, a man is this. So when you come from that, how do you deal with your family, the women that you did, that you look up to, the women that you look up to in your life?
Well, I had, you know what, and I'm just going to be 100% real, you know, because that's what we're here to be real for. The thing is that just because you are at your worst today, it don't mean you're going to be at your worst tomorrow. You could be at your best today and be at your worst tomorrow, you know. You can't just turn away and walk away from a man because a man, you know, loses his job or doesn't have a job or, you know, he's down off his 2 feet and he's on his bended knee. You can't, you know. So, you know, I'm not going to lie. Many moons ago, myself and my husband experienced that when we were first together. You know, everybody goes through a rough patch. And that was an issue that I did have with my family. You know, my family were, like I said, it was a group of women, and my family consisted of women, and they were really headstrong of men have to take care of us. You don't tell men what we have. I don't care if you only got 2 pennies. I want half of them 2 pennies, even though I got 100 in my pocket. That's how they were. So I had to stand up against an entire family, you know, because at that time my husband, you know, he was down on his luck. And, of course, it was a recession. You know, it happened. And, you know, my family was very vocal about that point of, you know, you're taking care of a man or, you know, you're giving this man. But my thing is, what I do is what I do. That's why you're you and I'm me, you know, because you never know when the situation and the role may reverse. And I'm in that same shoe because I don't understand. Whereas women, it's nowhere written in stone where a woman can't take care of a man. It's where is it written? You know,
really,
so
not.
That was my argument with them.
Mm-hmm.
That was my argument with them. You know, where was it written that men need to be sole providers for women? Where was that written? It's nowhere written in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's nowhere written on any stone. You know what I'm saying? So I really don't understand, like, where that concept even came from. You know, due to the fact that I really feel like it's a double standard, you know. I feel like it's a double standard. Because you got some men who are going out here working every day, you know, bringing home the butter and the bread, and they wives out here doing God knows what while they working their fingers to the bone, you know. So you definitely can't judge that because of the gender, you know.
So let me ask you, did that have a strain on your relationship, like, With him knowing that they felt that way, did it cause a strain between you two? Like, did you guys have, like, arguments and, you know, different things about it, or you just went on ahead, like, this is our thing and we doing it? Or did it take a strain on your relationship?
I wouldn't say it took a strain on my relationship. However, it did put a strain on the relationship between him and my family. But okay. That's not a strain that he placed there. That's a strain that they placed there, you know, because he's never given them any type of motive, you know, to feel some type of way about them. You know what I mean? So, you know, if anything, it made us stronger. It brought us stronger. It brought us together as one. You know, the more they, you know, fought against the fact that, you know, I was holding him down, whether they liked it or not, you know, because it's been plenty of times, you know, before he got down on his luck, he held me down. And now he definitely holds me down, you know. So, you know, and he made a lot of sacrifices for me to get to where I am, you know. So I definitely felt like the more they went against the idea of me holding down my man, quote unquote, the closer we came together. So if anything, it was a good thing, you know.
Were y'all already married, or you were just dating still in that process?
We were still dating. But we did have a kid. You know, so, and even when we got married, it definitely, you know, I think it really made them see this guy isn't going anywhere. You know, like they're good, you know, they're good together, but we don't want to admit they're good together, you know, because what I lack in, you know, you may have, or what you may have, I may lack in, you know, and vice versa. I mean, just because a man is down on his luck doesn't mean he does not have the ability to be a good man. And with them, that's what it was. A man that doesn't have a job doesn't have the ability to be a good man. But you don't have to have a job to have money. That's the thing. Men know how to get out here and do what they got to do. You know what I mean? So, I mean, with them, you have to have like a 9-to-5 or you have to be clocking in somewhere. But just because this man don't clock in don't mean he don't have money. You know, and that was a big issue for my family.
But do you think that they were a little justified? I mean, they're looking at the fact that you guys aren't married. You have a child, you know, outside of a marriage. And he was very well taken care of him. And then he say, all right, I'm out. And then you done, you know, spent money and everything on providing for him. Do you think that they were a little justified in that feeling?
No, I think that it was more so of a control issue.
Exactly.
You know, I really think that it was definitely a control issue. I don't think it had anything to do with, you know, making any justification of the situation, because it was women in my family that was doing way more than that. You know, that was with some low down dirty men, and you know they didn't speak upon that. When you are a force,
Abby,
and they see that force is too strong, they try to bring that force down. So I think that they saw something in the beginning that we didn't see that we had, and they knew that we were too strong as a union. So they tried to control it, but I didn't let that happen. You know, and I think that anyone who lets that happen, you're letting somebody else control your own destiny.
Miss Big Mouth,
putting it down, coming
to court. This a little bit.
Tell people to mind their business.
Exactly.
I'm putting it down, coming to court. Let us do us.
Exactly.
Just listen. Just listen when I'm having a bad day. If you can't do that, then I won't call you next time. It's not your relationship. Not for everybody in court.
Hello?
But do you think that sometimes in those relationships, like, people talk too much? You know, you be in a relationship and you talk to your family and you talk too much, and then when they talk back, everybody get upset. That's crazy. Go ahead, Aaron.
You know what? Because I understand exactly where, explaining her situation, right?
No, that's Miss Ambitious.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
You know what Big Mouth talks.
All right. Miss Ambitious, you know what? Because you know what? I can understand where Miss Ambitious is coming from as far as the family and all. Like, I don't think people be justified. You know why? Because a lot of times, like she said, a lot of times these people that be dipping into your relationship and all that, they have all types of secrets. I'm talking about dirty secrets, too. Like craziness, like where they might know, like, okay, this nigga tried to holler at my niece. He slept with my sister. But ain't nobody saying that about that shit because it happened 10 years ago, but it happened, and now they trying to act like they shit polished wood. You know what I mean? And then another thing, too, you got to be very careful when you're in a relationship, because everybody got their own life. We was brought here by our parents coming together. So you have to come together with other people to make beautiful things happen. Like, you got to be careful of potential killers and people that be just hating on your happiness. People will see your happiness and start hating on it for no reason. Like, they won't even, they may have an issue with you, but just you being happy, your display of happiness, a disturbed day character because they unhappy. And you have to be mindful of that. Like, you have to watch for things. Like, even when it's your family, like, you can't have no pics. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have no pics. You can't be like, like, if I'm going to tell a stranger or a friend, like, yo, look, I don't like when people do this, I'm going to tell a family member the same thing. You can't have no pics.
I agree. I agree 100%. And it really puts it in an aspect where you know, you think you can turn to your family and tell your family your deepest and your darkest worries and, you know, and concerns. But at the end of the day, you have to really ask yourself, am I hurting myself by telling them this, or am I helping myself? Because, you know, sometimes you really have to watch what you tell your family, because they're the most judgmental of them all. I know mine is. I can't speak to anybody else's. But, you know, I have learned that keep your business to yourself. Don't even share it with your mother. You know, that those are experiences that I have learned from, you know, because it's just your secrets are best kept to yourself at the end of the day.
My thing with talking to family, especially when it's a heated situation, we put each other in the awkward space when you talk to them about it, and then you go back to your mate and y'all make up, but you never amend the feelings that your family member may have about the stuff you just told them about your mate. So that's correct. That's to leave other people out. If y'all can't talk to each other. Communication all day. You have to be able to say, no matter how bad it is, if you think he was acting like a bitch at the time with a situation, you have to be able to say it to him, like, yo, that was a bitch move. You have to be comfortable with whatever y'all say to each other, because y'all going to be talking for a long time. Marriage is forever, or at least it's supposed to be.
And then you know what? That's the thing, too, like communication. Communication is really, really important. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't be communicating, or their communication will be like one sided, like how you were just saying, like you might be like, yeah, that was a bitch move, but you might be just thinking that shit. If you don't ever say nothing, then guess what? That bitch move might keep happening over and over again. You know what I mean? Like, because people ain't. I'm very, very analytical and mindful of my mate, but that's just me. Because I'm just constantly watching. I'm waiting for some shit to go wrong. Like, yo, you ain't sleep on this side of the bed. You don't take naps on this side of the bed. What's going on? You don't even take naps on this side of the bed. Something happened. What's going on? What's up? What's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, I'm perceptive. You know what I mean? So,
you can't even take a nap on the other side? Something got to be wrong here?
Nah, of course. Let me tell you something. You with somebody, and you know them. And I'm talking about really seriously knowing. I'm not talking about you getting to know. I'm talking about know them. When you know them, anything they do that's not normal is out of the ordinary. Anything. And in the minute that they do it and you don't notice it, guess what? You might have a problem on your hands later on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you got the simplest thing. The simplest thing. You know what I mean? Like, let me tell you something. I'm like with sex and things like that, like you gotta be mindful of everything that's going on with you and your mate and your significant other. You gotta be paying attention to that shit.
You can never get into
the mind state where you feel like it's ordinary or this is the norm or this is what we do. Like that part of your relationship is a routine. Your relationship should never be a routine. Like, seriously, because it's a constant growing. It's a constant growing element. Like, how you going to be in a relationship with somebody and ain't nobody growing?
Yeah, that ain't true. Good. I agree.
Because
then you're not growing. If they're not growing, you're not growing.
Exactly. That's why it's important. That's why it's important to watch, pay attention to your partner, because guess what? throughout the course of a relationship, things are going to change. You think people that have been married 50, 60 years has been all roses? Absolutely not. People that have been married 50, 60 years, they got some real stories to tell you. They could tell you some real shit. You know what I mean? They could really add that glue to the to your aspect of a relationship. Like, people be attached, but they don't be glued together. And that's why a lot of, you know, relationships be coming apart. There'll be a lot of detachment and people just, you know, not really, you know, people easily go in their separate ways because they was really never connected. They never found that place of hope where they connected.
Yeah. But you know what I want to do right quick, Aaron, before we continue to go in, because I see callers are all in the queue. I just want the wives to definitely, right quick, starting with Miss Big Mouth, let us get a little bit of history on who you are as a wife and how you, you know, came into that title and that status.
Well, I met my husband through my best friend. We were only about, I was only 11, and that just off bat, hate automatically. And from, I guess, growing, I was the tomboy, and he was the football star. He wanted all the cheerleaders and all of that, and I was feeling them, but didn't want him to know I was feeling them. And then I want to say about, he turned 15, I was 13, his mom passed, and we hadn't been speaking at all. Like, it wasn't even high and by. When he was there, I couldn't be there. That's how heated it would get. And I just happened to be walking home one day and seeing him in the backyard crying. And from just saying, what's wrong, that led to a five-hour conversation in the rain I will never forget. And just, from that, just was semi-inseparable. Because when he turned 17, he went to the Navy. And being I was only 15, I had everybody in my ear like, so you really going to wait on him to come home from the Navy? That's 4 years. Ooh. But it wasn't easy, but I did it. And when he came home, that made me 17. He was in his 20s. And we got engaged, moved to Georgia. Terrible situation, terrible. And then especially when you got two people who are not married. Like I said, I come from a household where my grandmother and grandfather have been together since they were 16 years old and raised their 8 kids together in the household. Then my mother and my stepfather were together, and they wasn't feeling the idea of, you're not married, y'all just simply engaged, you're extra young, and you move into a completely different state with a man and his family. And got down there, and it was messed up, but it was nothing like what they were trying to imply. And 11 dogs, 4 kids, all living, we in the basement. He's working, I'm writing. And it was just hectic. That was a terrible situation. The best thing from that was discovering that I could write. And when we moved back, well, before we moved back, I was ready to call it a quit because he had got locked up and I felt alone. And he knows that now. I just alone. 28 little days he got locked up. And just being there, I was ready. When he got home, I was ready to just call it a quit at the going through all of that and knowing him my entire life, just the depression and listening to other people, I was just ready to call it a quit.
But
what made me stay, we were leaving Georgia. We lived in Austell. We were leaving Austell. We was getting on the plane, had one large duffel bag. Every dollar we owned, we threw into me getting home because we had to stay there until he got off paper. So I was there another 2 years, so I was definitely ready to call it quits. But before we stepped on that plane to come back to Chicago, we had that one big duffel bag, and it was 70 pounds overweight. All it had was our clothes, shoes, video games, and all of my books, basically like 150 books. Get there, put it on there, 70 pounds overweight. I'm not going nowhere without my books. So I'm crying on my way to the garbage can, standing there deciphering. We got 30 minutes to be back there. I'm deciphering what books got to go. I can't do it. I get to throwing all my clothes away. Get back up there. You're 50 pounds overweight. So now I got to go back to the garbage can and decipher
which one of my books got to go in the garbage. I got including manuscripts that I've written as well. And I'm standing there crying and crying and crying. Next thing I know, he beside me, video games in the garbage. Brand new shoes of his going in the garbage. Clothes going in the garbage. Whatever it takes to make you happy, I'll do it, was the exact words he said. We got back on that plane, came here, back to Chicago, got married the next day. That was my wake-up call right there, like, stop listening to everybody. I never had any drama with this man, never no cheating, this, that, and third. Him going to jail for them 28 days was the most drama we've ever had. So that was my, my wake-up point right there. Like, you had all these young females, you calling your friends and all of that, and they don't want to see, they want you to club hop and all of that with them. They don't want to see you doing what they do. You the one with the car. So, of course, they need you to go so you can take them to point A to point B and see you, hook up with you and all of that. That was my, wake-up call. You can't listen to everybody, and everybody don't have your best interest at heart. None of them are happy. Big mouth happy. Very.
That's powerful. That is powerful. And like you said, to have somebody to have your back, you know what I'm saying, like that, that deserves loyalty. You know what I'm saying? That deserves respect and standing beside, you know, him on his low days. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm quite sure he's going to have him and he had him or whatever the case may be. But, you know, when you see somebody give of self like that, you know, without any, you know, drawbacks, like, look, you know, it's for you, it's for your happiness, you know, that definitely warrants respect. Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely powerful. I mean, you can't be listening to people. That goes right to my point, man. Like, you really cannot be listening to people, yo. People be unhappy in their life. And when people be unhappy sometimes, they wish to be destroyed. So they'll be like, yo, this is, this is supposed to be. People that live on supposed to be, I try to stay away from them because it ain't no such thing anyway. And I already write fiction. So when I'm dealing with people in real life that's dealing that's, you know, trying to be on some supposed to be, then, you know, I can't do that. That's just me. But that's a very powerful story, and I'm glad that you stuck it out, and it shows your individualism and independent mind. More than anything.
Right. Yeah, that is powerful. But, you know, over those, you know, those 4 years, you know, you guys being so young and him being away, how did you maintain, you know, with him being gone like that?
I'll be completely honest. I was taught that until you're ready for marriage, there's no need to have a boyfriend or play boyfriend and girlfriend. That's to prepare you for marriage. So while he was away, we had an understanding that we would both date. And my thing, I don't know how he played it because I'm not a fool. He was gone 4 years, but I don't know how he played it. But my thing was I could date, and you have 5 seconds. I can tell whether or not you're going to rub me the wrong way and we're going to clash. And that was just my – or if I found myself more interested in a person than I should be because I had already told myself that that's who I wanted to be with. So all I needed was – a reason to dislike this person in front of me, and I kept that tunnel vision. Like, this cool for right now, but my heart, my mind never left him. I could be on a, having a date, sitting there gossiping with some guy on my mama porch. He called her phone while he way in Australia and Japan where he was stationed. That person would have to wait on the porch, if you want to still be communicating with me until I got off the phone with him. The tunnel vision never left. I knew that's who I belong with because I'm not an overly emotional person. But every time me and him, he get to talking, I get to talking. There's too many emotions going on inside of me for that not to be the person that I wanted to be with.
When it is what it is, I always say it is what it is.
Every time he talks,
I know they probably was like, if you don't sit your little young self down, the world is your oyster, and you gonna wait on this boy, and da 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 da. You know how they do. Especially the older
like,
folks that,
so
that think
stupid.
They got it.
He going to be over there with all them different type of females of all type of nationalities. And like, okay,
that's another thing,
that's
too,
fine.
I want y'all ladies to know. Don't be listening to other women. I'm not saying they're always wrong, but don't always be listening to other women about your men when they ain't even got their man down pat.
That's true. I agree. I agree
100%. Like women be so busy. So many times I be sitting back. I'm like, yeah, she's sitting here rising shorty, and her man is over here doing this, and she know.
If she got a man.
Yeah, you got to figure this problem out first.
Yeah, as if she got a man. She's sitting there all lonely.
Yeah.
All the time.
She's somebody else.
Only with her. She's like, damn it, I don't want to be home by myself. You can't be lonely with it. Wow, that's crazy. That's good. We thank you for, you know, sharing that with us. Miss Ambitious, please tell us your
yes.
journey. Miss Author, Miss Wife.
Well, you know, I'm the first to say you got to go through something to get somewhere, you know, and her story, you know, is heartfelt, you know, and yeah. if you don't start at the beginning, what bridge do you build for yourself? You know, your bridge starts at the very beginning, you know, so I'm an author, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm Miss Corporate America, but before anything in this world, I'm a mother and I'm a wife, you know, I've said it 100 times, and I'll say it 100 more times. I'll rep it till I go to the grave. My husband holds me down. And because I'm so strong and vocal about that, you know, that he holds me down, and he has sacrificed so much, you know, for me to get to where I am. You know, sometimes some people, some women in general, some individuals, they can't grasp the idea of, people, you know, you being with someone that you vocalize, this person hold me down. If you don't like it, too bad. You know, I've given up family. I've given up husband. Many family members. And because at the end of the day, with me, I've always felt like, you know, well, let me back up. If my man was a no good, low down, nothing, I wouldn't even, you know, waste my time. I wouldn't give up so much. But because he's given up so much, we've both given up so much, you know, to be with each other. You know, I had no problem with going against my family, saying, oh, I'm going against the grain, deuces, you know, and I went with my husband. You know, so my journey is that, you know, you just don't know I've given up so much, you know. And at the end of the day, it was always just like, you know, if as long as my husband stands with me, no, nothing else matters. And that's my journey. Nothing else matters. As long as me and him stand together, we're the ones who started this, we're going to finish it. Don't nobody else matter. It's just them, you know. So it's a struggle, you know, when you got an empire against you. But when you're building your own empire, they can't win, you know. So it's my story is hard, though.
Why can't I be normal?
Okay, go ahead. We got a little bit of interference. You probably want to just make sure if your computer or your radio or whatever thing is on, just have it low. We're going to be bringing some callers in a few seconds because I see they have their hands raised. Aaron, go ahead and weigh in and then bring in our caller.
You're going to have to bring them in, Nene. What are you talking about?
Oh,
my
right. I'm sorry.
My bad. Remember? Yeah,
I'm
forgot
sorry,
my girlfriend
bad.
And my wife caught me today. I'm tied up. No.
All right, let me bring in this caller. We got 570-540. You are live in the Writing Royalty Clubhouse for season 2 of AuthorWise, Miss Ambitious and Miss Big Mouth. Talk to us, caller.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello. Hello.
What's going on?
Nothing much. Listening and learning.
She's a scholar. She's a scholar. she got the marriage thing down pat.
No, I was just want to go back on something that was said earlier.
Okay.
I feel love is like a blanket statement, but the act is unique. And once we understand that, we can understand that people give you information on love. the blanket mm-hmm. statement, but your love with whoever you're in love with is your unique feeling. Like mm-hmm. me, raised by grandparents, I heard all, great grandparents. They was born 1909. And my mm-hmm. brother always, me and my sister, it's a poor rat with one hole. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand doing. She was married mm-hmm. to my great grandfather since she was 13 years old. Only man she's been with. Mm-hmm. I seen what marriage was like. I seen how they dealt with stuff. And my grandma was very independent. She worked. Mm-hmm. All of my family worked. And we hold each other down. I was raised by a stepmother mm-hmm. who taught me that as long as your hands work and his feet work, it's nothing y'all can't get. Y'all a unit. When you marry mm-hmm. somebody, your family, you know, you have to understand if that's if y'all family, family recognize family. You might have a dispute inside the family, like, you know, what's going on with him, but that's family. They're supposed to come around him, too. If he not doing what he got to do, somebody got a job around, they can help out, or either be quiet. That's my grandfather. He'll tell you quick.
Or the mother.
I'll catch you to be quiet. If you're not taking the power to our house or you are putting money in that light building, be quiet. We're not here mm-hmm. to destroy things, but we're here to build one. She told him we raised her right, so we're going to walk with her.
Mm-hmm.
But, you mm-hmm. know, when you got, I'm in a relationship with my, me and my man together for 17, 18 years, and it go, it's a trail. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's down. I'm going to make my money. That's who I am.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If I'm sick and I can't go to work the normal way, I'm going to find a hustle the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he's going to do. So when I mm-hmm. say we come to love, stuff, you just got to take it. Like, take the advice and use it if you can. If not, then hey, let it be what it is. It, you don't have to make nobody else believe your love.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
It's only about y'all too. And if your girlfriends can't deal with it, then they're not your girlfriends, they're associates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you need to say that part again, because that be the key to a lot of broken relationships. Family be playing a part too, but a lot of times it be people that you be associating with that really already don't mean you any good. You can only go to people for good advice when they're good people. You can't go to your girlfriend and be getting ratchet with in the club with for good advice on this nigga. That done pissed you off. She's about to give you some bad advice. Y'all be doing what y'all do. So how you going to go to her about something he doing? She about to tell you how to get back. Now you how to get right. She about to tell you how to get back.
Yeah, and a couple of years later, she be with him.
For real. Are you playing?
You on Facebook telling everybody what you and your man went through. You're telling your friends what he don't like. So they say, wait a minute, he don't like yellow rice. She's like, white rice?
For real.
Okay, and you don't gave him the girl everything she needs to come take your man.
Hmm.
Word up. Y'all be riding around town all day talking about how y'all going to kill the culprit, and the whole time she's sitting right next to you.
Killing you.
Y'all done checked everywhere except for her house.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Miss T. Appreciate your contributions. You always call the show.
Thank you, Miss T.
Yes, for sure. We got to get you a cold name too for when you call in. We have to start getting you a cold name.
A cold name? Well, I know I'm the baby. I'm Miss Everything.
I'm Miss
Everything.
Okay.
I heard.
All right.
I'm Miss Everything.
Next time you call in, you gotta adopt yourself.
I need those people to be
so crazy.
Okay,
let me do a quick shameless plug. Miss Tisha is going to be interviewing the infamous Zane on Tuesday. We will be posting that link. Make sure y'all tune in. It's going to be an epic interview. She was blessed to win a radio spot to interview any author, and she said Zane, they was able to get her. She'll be sitting down live with Zane on Tuesday, July 2nd. So make sure you guys tune into that. Is it the second or is it the first?
July 1st.
Sit down with Miss Zane. So make sure y'all tune in for that.
Yes, I'm asking for some things that you outside the box. I'm going for.
I'm going in.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Sorry, I can't wait.
Thank you, Miss. I don't know how she's making that change. I'm trying to figure it out. Game plan on. She making moves. I understand what moves that she's making.
No, that's right. Yes. We'll go ahead and check in the queue. We've got some more callers waiting to talk to the wives. Thank you, Miss Everything.
Stalking the line.
Yeah, she said that love is a blanket statement. It is between you and that person. Like, yeah, that is so true. Like, people have people all in their business, and they wonder why they're in their business. But we're going to take 773-943. We're going to take 773-943. You are live in the clubhouse with the author live season two, Miss Ambitious, Miss Big Mouth. Talk to us, caller. You not talking? You changed your mind? 773-943. You're live.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is Eureka. Oh, my God. Somebody put me in the queue, and I wasn't trying to do nothing but listen today because I wasn't going to fight with Aaron.
You had
to
hear, baby.
Is that why you said? Is that why you said?
No.
Her, you
said, look.
You feel like, I heard
look,
that.
Right.
Somebody
I did.
I was
like, shut up.
You talk about brothers don't play with Aaron, and I'm sitting over here with nothing but my towel on.
I know. See,
you
letting out a secret. Cut that out, okay? They don't need to know. Shh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I got a little excited.
Hey, y'all. Oh, my God. I love my writing royalty crew. Oh, my God. but I have to... Yeah, you know you good. You good dude, man. But look, I had to add this because Aaron, you know, he don't want nobody want me to tell anybody, but I'm married and I've been married for I wanna say see, Aaron's my other boo, y'all. Shh. Don't tell nobody.
Okay, I won't say anything.
Look, Nene, you got me. Leisha, y'all know right.
G Street,
but
you see, G Street it's a bond. I ain't saying nothing.
I'm sorry, y'all. I just laugh so much because every time I get around y'all, I cannot think straight. But look,
okay.
I've been married, and I heard my boo thing over there. I love KP. That's my sister. But I heard him saying, you know, some of the things about, like, you know, telling your business to your female friends and different stuff mm-hmm. like that. One thing I've learned in being married is you have to laugh. You got to mm-hmm. laugh, even when stuff is so hard or you want to gouge his eyes out and
mm-hmm.
you know you just see but you gotta laugh. That's one thing about the mister. He's a jokester and he knows
mm-hmm.
I'm a very headstrong woman, so it's like it's not easy for me to just go yes sir or be passive, you know, until it's that moment
mm-hmm.
but any other time
mm-hmm.
no, I'm like take charge doing what I need to do. So
mm-hmm.
it takes a certain type of man to handle a headstrong woman. And
mm-hmm.
when you know, I come from that era where you don't tell what's going on in your business, baby, because the same one you're telling it to sitting back may be like, let me get a hit of that. You know what I'm saying? And,
mm-hmm.
and then you find yourself in that situation in some of these books we write about. But our outcome
mm-hmm.
is reality where we done killed me a mother, you know what I'm saying? Because I put in work for that, baby. I got the battle scars to prove it. I'm the one. I'm the reason why, you know, if he was to go to a side chick, I put it like this. You cannot stop somebody from cheating. I don't care how good you are, how you try, whatever you do, even if you're doing everything that they want, you know, it's up to them and the individual if they're not going to do it. So
mm-hmm.
what I've done for myself is, as a wife, baby, I'm not expendable. When if I leave you, you gonna know
mm-hmm.
I'm gone. You gonna miss this because I guarantee you there'll never be. Yes, I will say that anthem. There will never be another like me. No, not by a long shot. I wasn't a twin. No. So I mean, when you got that relationship, except for Leisha, that's my twin. But when you got mm-hmm. that relationship with your husband, you got to find times where you just laugh. I mean, be just downright goofy with each other. Because me and my husband, we can be cussing and fussing at one minute, and then the next minute we laughing and joking. And I'd be like, are we bipolar? you know, neither one of us know, but we just laugh. And we try to, you know, look at the situation. I'm for real, y'all. Y'all have to see the shit that go on in this house. But no, when we're sitting there, and this is like my husband and I, we've been married for 8 years, and we've been together for 15. And trust and believe me, when I say them battle scars, ooh, I got them. Those emotional scars, I got them. No, he was not a cheating man when we got married. Oh, no. Nah, dear. Mm-mm. Ain't none of him coming in this house. But before then, oh, no. Mama know how to keep home right. But if beforehand, you know, before they get to that moment where they say, okay, this is what we're going to do, you know, he had to, you know, test them waters and see this, that, and the other. But like I said, I make myself. You're going to know I'm gone when I'm gone because I'm that backbone. Just like he's mine, I'm his. You know, you can't bring half a meal to a table and say, here, sit down and eat, and everything's gone and there's nothing left. No, y'all got to, you know, connect together and do this thing. You know, I've seen a lot of things going around with a lot of side chicks, right? And a lot of them are happy with that. Let me tell y'all something. I would never be happy being nobody sad of nothing. No.
I agree.
And I couldn't because you know what? I had a proposition like some years ago. If you and this man together and y'all invest in so much in each other, y'all not married. None of this going on. You legally have no right to anything that he owns. He so happens, you know, knock on wood, gets killed or deceased. Guess what? This family can come in and move your ass right on up out of there and take everything that y'all have worked hard together to get. So while we're sitting up there playing house and not, you know, getting these things legalized, you leave yourself open for a lot of hurt, not just from him passing, but his family and from other things. I put it like this, being a sad chick or whatever, because I got younger sisters and they go, well, I'm screwing him. It don't matter. Yeah, it do matter, baby. It do matter. Oh. And I say that to my son. It do matter. Be careful and mindful who you giving your goodies to. And you giving them a piece of your soul. You know, they got a lot, y'all. I know I'm long-winded, but it just kills me when I see this. And not a lot of people want to do the marriage thing. They don't think it's worth it. But I'm a wife that say it is worth it, you know. If anything worth having is worth fighting for.
That's true.
Yeah.
I agree
100%. That's right. And at the end, you can just lick them little wounds together. You'd be like, yeah, we was just tore up. But we all right now. Here, rub this bad money cut that I got.
Telling you, battle all the moments for real. Shoot. Being here cracking her ready to crack his eyes out, then I'm cracking jokes with him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be able to weather the storm. You know, saying I'm married does not say I'm perfect or we're perfect or our relationship is perfect.
Come on,
saying I'm married, saying that we're on a journey together and whatever comes on this journey, we're going to get through it together. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I always tell people that when they come to me and a lot of people talk to me about their relationship and I never advise people leave. I never do.
Ooh.
I always tell women, what you can take. You know what you can take. And when you can't take it no more, you know what you know what I'm saying? Protect your heart. You know, protect yourself, definitely. If he gets behind, that's a whole different story right there. That's a different subject. I might advise a little bit differently. But a problem, you know what I'm saying? You can get through it with a little bit of patience and a little bit of hard work. You know what I'm saying? Only you know what you can bear. You know what I'm saying? And I might can't bear what you might can bear it, but going that one extra mile, like, when Miss Big Mouth was talking about ready to just let it go. You know, she had already been through the ringer. And at a young age, a tender age, when your life is like your oysters in front of you, like you could have anything or anybody at your fingertips. And she was ready to just say, let it go. But the selfless act of him made her say, you know what, that's it. You know, this is it. He is it. You know what I'm saying? So you never know what you're getting. And you never know what you can take until you go through it. And when you can't take no more, you get out if you can't. But if you can hang in there for another day, just one more day to get up and talk and smile and laugh you know, and weigh things out, it might be a whole different story. Yeah. But we thank you, Eureka, for coming in and sharing with us. We appreciate that so, so much.
Oh, no problem.
No problem.
Thank you,
Ms. Y'all. Y'all are awesome. You are so welcome.
Thank you so much, and we love you and continue to listen to the show.
Of course. Love you guys.
Thank you. All right, we have a 516-318. We're going to bring them into the clubhouse, 516-318. You are live in the Right and Royalty Clubhouse. Please weigh in. We have the Author Wives, we have Miss Ambitious, and Miss Big Mouth. Talk to us. Are you there, 516-318? You're live. I'm going to listen some more. Sometimes it's like that. They're like, hey, I wanted to talk, but now I don't think that talking is an option. I'm going to put you back on hold, 516, because maybe in a minute you might have something else you want to say. Well, come back. Okay, we're going to take 816-896. We have 816-896. You are live in the Written Royalty Clubhouse with our author wives, Miss Ambitious and Miss Big Mouth. Please, talk to us.
Hello, how are you all?
Hi, how are you?
My name is LaTanya. I was weighing in and listening to you all conversations about marriage and relationships and side chicks and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the problem is with a lot of women is that they have lost their identity.
Mm.
You know, it's a battle between men, women, who right, who wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, I think at the end of the day, we all are poor. Our mentality, we think poor, we act poor, we speak poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily, I think women have got to the point where they think it's acceptable to have a half of a man instead of a whole man because that's all they feel like, you know, they can get or they deserve. A lot of women have put their self-worth into their appearance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I was married at one point in time, but now I'm widowed. But I look at these young women. I'm almost 40 years old. I look at these young women today, and a lot of times people be like, well, it start at home. It does. Don't get me wrong. Our mother and father or guardian, grandmother, auntie, whoever raised us might have set the standard stage and circumstances surrounding who we were then. But when you get of age, legal age, and able to get out on your own and make your own decisions, you are responsible for who you become.
Mm-hmm.
No one else. So, you know, I just think that we live in a world today where people have got, you know, morals, values, standards, foundation, you know, stuff, you know, all that then went haywire. It then went out the window. Love is like a word. T is just a tattoo. You know, none of that applies no more. No, women barely have standards. They barely have self-respect. They don't know what self-love is. And when you have all that combined, you have a hot-ass mess.
Yeah, and you know what? I think – go ahead, Precious. Go ahead.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
No, I just think that in this day and time, when we're talking – because our opening subject was marriage 40 years later. And I think that in this day and time, women are taught – more to wear a mask, to have some sort of persona or some sort of, you know, fake that's built up. So you start a relationship, a lot of times people start a relationship on a facade, on a falsehood, you know, and then stuff get real. Okay, now you want to be real. Now you want to share. Now you want to tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and you look at 40 years ago with marriage, you know, you had grandparents that advised you to know how to cook, know how to clean, you know, share with your husband, you know, be his backbone, be his ear, you know, listen to him, you know what I'm saying, be honest, you know, and now it's the opposite. Oh, you got to lie as long as you can lie till you can get them, and then, you know what I'm saying, if the tooth should happen to fall out the crack, cover that up with something else false, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I think women looking at, though, then? You know, how many families have all that then, but at the same time, them same husbands had three or four different families?
Talk about it.
You know, or one other family on the side. You know, I think the fact of the matter is that we as people, human beings, have shielded and masked ourselves for so long, we haven't been able to figure out or differentiate the difference between what's right, what's wrong, you know, who's worth it, who's not worth it, you know. All that then went out the window. All that.
I think you start as little girls nowadays is what you taught. When you coming into age and you getting your breasts and your booty and all that, you automatically off bat taught to stay away from the boy and say this and do that. So when you start finding yourself dealing with them on a continuous basis, you just going for what you know, because you was taught to jump, to stay away from them. They mean no good to you. They only want one thing.
That's true, but look at what you've seen growing up. How many of us, if we wasn't taught right from wrong, seen right from wrong, but it's still your choice if you want to allow history repeat itself, or if you want to go a different direction and do something different. You know, do you want to look at this person or that person or this woman or that woman or this man or that man? Do you want to do what they do? Because once you get a certain age, that's your choice. That's your decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, people don't realize the word, you know, people use the word mistake so much right now that I have to ask people, do they honestly know the dictionary definition of that word? It is a mistake is an error in judgment, action, or belief. That's something simple. A mistake is when you see somebody and you thought that they were somebody that looked like someone, or if you put the gas bill inside of the water bill. That's a mistake. But when you continue to make decisions and choices over and over and over, that is not a mistake. You chose that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Say it. That's right. That's right.
I agree.
That's right.
It's kind of difficult, though, when you have a man present himself to be one person, and then you sleep with him and then find out that he's somebody completely different. So that puts you in an awkward space where you have to call it quits when you had enough and say, I made a mistake. And side chicks catch a bad rap a lot, but I kind of we kind of need them when you really think about it. Because if he's making a facade,
they keep
and
doing more.
He go get up with her, he going to show her the real him, and he's showing you the real him. So you need to thank and commend the side chicks. And thank you, Carl, because you just saved me a lot of time, headache, money, emotions, all of that.
That's right. Them the ones that got moral standards.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the ones that go after married men or men that's in a relationship. It's a
gotta thank her,
to
too. Because he cracks under pressure, so you got to thank her, too.
But I look at it like this. We all, at the end of the day, going to stand on our own in judgment. Ain't none of them going to be standing beside us. So at the end of the day, you got to realize you have a choice and you have a decision. Which one you going to choose? You going to choose to be like everybody else, or you going to choose to have or you going to choose to be like you came into this world on your own? Stand on your own, have your own mind, make your own decisions, speak on your own, think for your own.
Wow, that's right.
You ladies have a beautiful day. I appreciate you all answering my call and speaking to me. And we thank you for calling in because
you
set up all the good light. Yes. And we hope that you can the following season. We'll be jumping it off on July 13th. We'll be live with our new wives and our other wives, and we're going to be going in on some very good topics. And please, 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 it'll be on Sunday night from 7 to 9. We would love to have you call in and weigh in and share your wisdom with us. And we thank you very, very much for doing so tonight. And I thank you all, too. But, you know, I was always raised to never judge no one. And the reason why that I can look and sit and speak to anybody and not be biased is because I'm human. I made few mistakes, but I made a whole lot of poor choices and poor decisions. But I know everybody don't think like me, and everybody don't look at a situation like me. I can pick apart certain situations or people. So I will never pass judgment. You know, don't none of us own a heaven, a hell, or a jail cell, meaning we cannot and should not judge no one. Sometimes you got to step outside your shoes and step into the shoes of another person to see where they coming from or what they thinking or how they living.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Benefit of the doubt play a part too.
It is. That's and sometimes right. you gotta check yourself. Go stand in front of a mirror and talk to a person that's staring back at you. Can't blame everybody for what's going on around you or for what's going on for the decisions you make. You gotta blame yourself.
Definitely. That's right.
You ladies have a blessed day.
Ma'am, you too.
You too. Thanks for calling.
You too. Thank you.
That was powerful. That was definitely powerful. She shared some very good things. She said, what she said, a mistake is putting the wrong money on the wrong bill.
Putting the water bill and the light bill.
That's a mistake. She said, but some of that other stuff, that was good. That was really powerful. We're going to take 516 right quick, 516-318. We're going to bring 516-318 into the in the right and royalty clubhouse, authorized season 2, Miss Ambitious and Miss Big Mouth. Talk to us.
Hey, Tony, it's me. How you doing?
Hey, Miss Tony, how are you?
I am doing well. I'm enjoying the show, and I apologize that I couldn't get on before. I'm trying to finish up dinner, one of those wifey duties that I do.
Yes. This is our veteran. This is Miss Tony. She's one of the hosts of Right and Royalty Radio, loyal reader, and our family, our sister, our friend, been married for 22 years. And, you know, she's always sharing her wisdom and giving us, you know, her advice. Definitely weigh in on this, Miss Tony.
I am enjoying the young ladies that you have on the show, and I'm just, like, spellbounded by it. One thing that I have to say is that you can't let everybody into your marriage. You know, that's between you and your partner. You know, and I found out a long time ago that you keep your business in your business, you know, because you may be forgiven, but those around you may not.
Mm-hmm.
And they will hold that against you and the person. You may have long, long time forgiven them, but they won't. They have a short memory. And sometimes they don't like to see you happy because they're not happy. So you young ladies are on the right track as far as keeping people out of your business. And sometimes those soulmates, you know, they just persevere. I'm not sure which young lady it was that had her partner go into the service and he served those 2 days, but that's perseverance that you endured, my sister.
That's Miss Big Mouth. That's Miss Tony. That's Miss Big Mouth.
And I love the two aliases. I love those two names.
Thank you.
Thank you. But I'm going to sit back and continue to enjoy the show. Mimi, as always, Buffett, you're doing an awesome job. And I'm just going to sit back. I'm sure everybody else has something to weigh in. That was just my 1 cent.
Thank you so much, Miss Tony. That was 5 cents, and I'll keep the change.
All right, I'm going to sit back in and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you so much. Wow, that was powerful, you know, and this is a good subject. You know, I'm happy that we have this going on. You know, we have a lot of women callers, you know, people in different types of situations. Some people in marriages, some people, you know, are engaged, some people are dating, some people are unsure, some people are the side chick. And I like, you know, what you said about, you know, thanking, you know, the side chick in that
and
you would have never saw
character.
Yeah, you wouldn't have saw his true character had he not been put in a position where he could cheat or he could betray your trust or, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but in a lot of cases, like we talk about here all the time, Aaron always says side chick is winning and, you know, different things. And one of our guests that was on here a little while ago, she has said that she kind of feels for the side chick also in that, you know, sometimes women don't know. You know, they honestly don't know that a man is married or don't know he's in a relationship. And then they get their feelings involved, you know. And then you have, you know, women who end up, you know, loving, having kids with, you know, different things happen, you know, along that journey where a lot of times she is just, you know, just as hurt as the wife. A lot of people are judged hard, like, oh, you should have known or whatever the case may be. But I know situations where women didn't know. You know, the activity that the man had with her was like he wasn't even in a relationship. You know what I'm saying? I have a family right. member who, you know, God was married, but they took trips together. He was at our house for events, you know, holidays. You know, they were out in the open in the same community, same neighborhood. You know, her car had went down, and he gave her one of his cars to, you know, to drive, to get around until her car got back. I mean, nobody knew. Like, how do you know? You know, so how can you determine? If a man is doing all those things, and then now your heart and your feelings and everything is involved, and now it's like, okay, everything comes out. And then everybody wants to stone the side chick. So, you know, how do you feel about that, Ms. Mal?
Well, being that I've never been in that situation personally, but seen it a zillion times, now that's a first I've heard where a person just really don't know. Now that's completely different, because I see a lot of don't care attitude.
Right.
But when you just really don't know, it's up to you to determine whether or not you're going to stick it out and give him the benefit of the doubt, because you never know. Like, it's always stepping outside of yourself and trying to figure out how that person was thinking. Because I would hate to lose a person, because he was dating the both of us, but he was kind of caught in between on the citizen and was probably in the process of trying to do the right thing. So I like to get the benefit of the doubt before I just stone him completely. But it's,
right.
all about how we got played out and how it was dished to you.
Right, and I agree with that, because, you know, people, like they said, people are human. People make mistakes, like you said. But if you look up and every time you turn around, that's your same problem, then that's his issue. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, he got to
every
go.
Time
he
we fight, this again, like, you done got you another side chick? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing? Like, you are clearly bugging. But, that's crazy.
Madden, that's when she dies.
Yeah, and matters of the heart are so tricky. You know, it's easy to say what you will do, what you won't do, what you'll take, what you won't take, but when things actually happen in real time and heart and everything is involved and it's children in the relationship and it's, you know what I'm saying, different things happening, like, you can't really determine what you will really do unless you are in that situation. You can have a clear plan. Like, man, if this happened, I'm doing this. I don't give a darn, blah, 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 blah. But then your heart is involved. You know what I'm saying? Your feelings are involved. It's a whole different story. Mm-hmm. You got children, too, you know, and different things like that. Like, it's a lot involved. So you can't never say, but that's why you got to be able to be in your relationship and know what boundaries you set up, and it's between you and that person. And that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ms. Ambitious. Weigh in.
Well, I'm a wife now, praise God. But however, you know, I'm a firm believer that anything that you do in life, if you want to be embarrassed about it, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. You know, so when I was a teenager, I will definitely say and admit that, you know, I was foolish and messed with a married man. And at that time, you know, it wasn't more so, I didn't know, realize that I was doing myself a disservice by doing so. You know, I was selling myself short. At that time, being 18, 19 years old, I automatically thought, because I wasn't that type of woman to want to be, you know, in an exclusive relationship. I was more so like, I would prefer him to have his wife or his woman or whatever he got, you know, and he go back to her and he be her burden or be her worry. And that's how I was. And, you know, as time went on and as I became wiser, I said, what am I doing? What the hell am I doing? You know, I'm selling myself short by saying, you know, that's her husband, her problem, just my good time. And it, you know, after a while, it gets old, and it's really not good. It doesn't look good, and I just was like, you know what, this is distasteful. And I started to slow down more, you know, not to say that I was some wild, bucked out, you know, female out there, but, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit that, you know, that at that time, I didn't want to be exclusive with any man at that time. Like, I was just like, I preferred a guy that had a, you know, a girlfriend or a significant other or whatever the hell you call it. You know, I preferred that. because uh-huh. I didn't have to worry about you being all up in my ear and worried about what I'm doing. However, right. you know, guys get attached too, and although you go into a situation, because I automatically feel like, you know, I'm going into the situation, you know, he has a girlfriend or he has a wife or whatever, he has someone he goes home to, I'm automatically in my head saying, you know, I'm not going to be his worry. You know, this guy had gotten to the point to where, you know, it was always where you at, what you doing. I'm like, dude, slow down. You know, you're in a relationship. This was just, you knew what we were getting into when you did it, you know. So he'd gotten himself more attached than I'd gotten myself attached. And it was just like, I can't do this. You know, if I'm going to do this, then I need to be exclusive. Because I learned that he was more, you know, he grown more attached than the guy that I was more exclusive with. And I was like, nobody gonna tag that sign for that. You know, so it's a disservice. It's definitely a disservice. And you discredit yourself when you do it.
That's right. It is. Hey, it's like that. You know, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Literally, right. Exactly.
Oh, man.
Exactly. Literally, I agree 100%. But like I said, I'm wiped up now. Praise God. And you know what? When I got married, I said, you know what, karma. Lord, don't let karma come back to be no fat. You know what? Because I have to kill her. You know, and you because you really don't think about those things when you're doing it to someone else.
I was really getting ready to ask you that. You took the question right out of my mouth. I'm like, okay, so now we're in bliss, but, you know, would you make allowances for that? I mean, being as though you did it so freely and was happy with
right.
doing that, you know, would you give him a pass?
Absolutely not. I did that. That's what I did. I did it. That you don't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that.
You had a ball doing it.
Exactly. But you
okay.
can't be me. No,
so he
can't. You can't be me. That was my error. No.
He can't slip and trip into something. There's no slipping and tripping into something.
Ain't no slip. Let me tell y'all something. Me and my husband and a few of our family members went away to vacation, and we went
uh-huh.
to a strip club. This lady
uh-huh.
was like, you know, he got in a lap dance, and then I was like,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, he can get a lap dance. Then he got another lap dance, and then the second lap dance turned into a third lap dance, and I was like, oh, I'm about to cut his ass up in here. Ain't nobody told you. And he was like, well, you probably to the strip club. And I'm like, dude, I said one lap dance, not three, and it made it so bad after the second dance. She said, can I keep going? And he was like, yeah, like no pause. They just kept on. So I would kill his ass. If he tried to cheat, and if he did that to me, baby, you should have saw me, baby. I stormed out the strip club. I was steaming, like, on vacation. And my sister's looking at me like, you are crazy. You shouldn't have brought him to the strip club. Like, I was living. Y'all just don't know. I was crying. I was just, you know, because I felt like he looked at her and, you know. See, that's what I'm saying. So I wouldn't be able to take my husband doing that to me. Although I did to somebody else, I can't let it slide. I can't do that.
You might have to take one for the team. I think you should probably take one for the team.
No.
We need an option. If that's the openness we're going to have, let me know.
Uh-huh.
So let me know you're going to be out seeing other females so I can prepare
mm-hmm.
myself to start seeing other men. Just give me the option to know. Don't be sneaking and doing it. Let me know.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I can know what game we playing.
Yeah. Put all the cards on the table because nobody wants to have no sneak attack. You want to have your,
right.
you know, your weapons and stuff ready. You want to be ready. But I don't think it ever really happens like that. I think it happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think people wake up in the morning. Well, they might. Some dudes might wake up in the morning like, let me go find this side piece. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's a comforting
exactly.
voice. It's a, you know what I'm saying? It's a listening ear. You know, sometimes it's just the way something looks. They just like, I just want to get in that. Like, it's nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a whole different feeling. Sex is a whole different feeling for a man than it is for a woman. You know, so to us, it's like, oh, my God, just slept with her. And him, he's like, baby, it really ain't that serious. It wasn't that good. It was just something to do. I did it. She caught feelings. I tried to get back home like nothing ever happened, but it didn't work like that. You know what I'm saying? So you know, sometimes it ain't like that. But, you know, you want to stay inside your marriage and, you know, your boundaries and your promises to each other, you know, because every marriage is different. You know, we have Miss Crazy in Love, our other author wife, and she said it. You know, she's into her husband, but she's also into women. So that is a thing that she put on the table right up front. That was something she didn't want to lose. She still wanted to be able to have that pleasure. And they worked something out where she can pick and choose a woman and that can come home with them and they can have fun with her. And after that, it's over. You know what I'm saying? And don't do it outside of our agreement. You know, this is an agreement that we have. You know, we can do everything else. She can't have no D. So she can't have none of that at all. That's mine. But we can do everything else that's fun and pleasurable to me and to him. And then when the night is over, the night is over. No more, you know, communication, no calling her, no nothing. This is part of something that he allows her to have to keep her happy within their marriage. But they put it on the table. She said, I had to tell him up front. You know, she said, it could have been a total deal breaker. Like, he could have been like, ew, no, I don't want no woman who want another woman. She said, but if I didn't say it, then I'd have been hiding it from him my entire marriage. So, people work out, that's their business, that's on them. But, you know, put it all on the table so everybody gets a chance to see what's going on. But we got another caller. We want to bring them in so we can let them weigh in. We got 773-943. We have 773-943. We're going to bring them into the clubhouse. 773, you are live with the Author Wives Season 2, Miss Ambitious and Miss Big Mouth. Talk to us, 773. Or do you just want to listen to them? I'm not sure. Sometimes they do that. They press the one by accident and they don't want to talk. 773-943, you're live. Are you there? Do you want to weigh in? No, nothing. 773-943. No, nothing. Okay. Well, we're gonna let you continue to listen, and you know, your one is up, so we can't talk to you because you're in the queue, back in the queue. So we're gonna take 317. Let's take 317-410. 317-410. We're gonna bring you into the clubhouse. 317-410, you're live in the Writing Royalty Clubhouse, Author Wives, Season 2, Miss Ambitious, Miss Big Mouth. We got it going on up in here. Talk to us, caller.
Yeah, live tonight. This is my first time I ran into you guys through Facebook, but just wanted to kind of share my situation. You guys are doing a thing out there.
What's your name, caller?
My name is Missy. Missy for short.
Nikki, okay. Okay.
And I was just calling, like I said, I've been in a relationship with my husband for a total of 12 years, and we've been married for maybe 6 years. So we got together when I was in, I'm not even 30 yet. I'm just 29 this year. But we got together when I was in high school. So as you grow, you know, different things happen throughout that time. So when we were just once that high school sweetheart, the real issues started coming. Once you started being together for a period of time, the women, the everything, but we have always been on one accord, you know, saying, hey, if this is what it, we got a vision here. Let's get to this vision. Either we in it or we away from it. And I did always notice that women will put themselves in some situations. I mean, you can know a woman and she could be right in your face and be the same woman in your bed, you know. In those types of situations. Mm-hmm. So then it kind of puts that trust issue there between you and your husband because at the end of the day, hey, a woman won't jeopardize it because like a woman said before, people don't want to see you happy. It goes for family members. It goes for friends. It goes for outside people because they want what they want out of the whole situation. So whether they want to see you happy or want him, it's not even that. A lot of times people just want your situation. Simple.
And they don't even know your situation.
They don't even know it. That's why I tell them, if you want him, come and get his clothes, too. Come and wash the clothes, do some dinner. You know, in fact, take the kids with you. You know, because a lot of times people want to sign up for stuff. They have no idea. You know, you'll be wanting something like, really? This? Because a lot of times you see people that are married, you'll be like, oh, wow, I can't wait to get married. When I got married, I went back to those same people like, y'all lied to me. What's really the deal, you know?
Because
they put on a persona that it's no issues, there's no problems, and then you find yourself walking around somebody like, I'm getting married. You are. We're meeting. Well, you know what? Have you guys tried? You know, you start to do the, I'm not telling you not to get married, but I'm telling you to go through the precautions of, you know, premarital counseling and, you know, if things happen, just to kind of go through those threads because if you don't, you're bound to lose if you don't set yourself up for success.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when you said that about situations, You know, my best friend, we were at an event somewhere we were at, and she talking about, you know, they had met her husband and everything, and one of the girls, she's sitting there, and she like, you so lucky you got a man at home. So she turned around on her, like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? She's like, he could be home whooping my ass. She's talking about, I'm so lucky I got a man at home, but I just hit the floor, and this is before we were really, really friends. And she was, you know, her thing was like, you know, how, why am I lucky? Because I have a man that takes care of his children, you know, that's taking care of the situation, taking care of the household. You know, he doing what he's supposed to be doing. How do I end up being lucky, you know what I'm saying, in this situation? Like, you know, sometimes people don't know. You know, people don't know a situation. They look at it, they judge it or whatever, and they don't really know what it, and don't know what it took to get it here. Like, you can see two people, like, they finish each other's sentences, they so mesh well, but you don't know the storm that they went through for a sunny day. You know what I'm saying?
I know, I know that's right.
Yeah, and then you have to go after somebody's man. Like, woman who sit there like, oh, girl, you so lucky you have him. You know what I'm saying? Now you want to have him, but you know what I'm saying, what a person been through with another person, you know, before things got really, really good. You know what I'm saying? People have been through hell and high water in relationships to get stuff to a certain level where it looks perfect to everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And even in that, you don't know. It could be perfect outside while we're in front of everybody. Then you get in the house and shut up, you stupid so-and-so, and blankety, blankety, blank. You know, so you don't know. You know, so you can't really judge. And each situation, like you said, is unique, and it belongs to the two people that are in it.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And I even believe, too, you know, I sometimes think, yeah, men are sometimes a culprit, but sometimes it's a woman, too, because at times, I ain't going to lie, I got with him when I was 15 or 16 years old. I've never slept with another guy, but I can't tell you and lie and tell you that I never thought about it. You know, just from changing, you know, because I can't understand, like, if you've been with another woman, I have to work. That's something that I've worked through within our relationship, you know. Like, if you've been with another woman, so you already know what the score is. Can I see what the score is, too? You know, on that level, because I don't want to be unfaithful, but I'm just keeping it real, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if you go out to sleep with somebody else, so don't tip me. Don't do anything that's going to make me feel that I have to subject my own self to other things that I'm not really wanting to, but I will go that far just to say, hey, I got to experience it. Hey, I screwed up. My bad.
You cheat.
I forget
I'm
you.
I'm cheating. I'm cheating.
Did you cheat? Did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was listening.
I
didn't hear you.
Okay, so did you try something else on the side? Did you?
No, I have not. I have not.
You was quiet for a real long time. I'm going to have to talk to you off camera. He could be listening. He could be listening. No.
Nah, he's asleep. Look, he's split. He's asleep right now from dinner. He ain't
okay, well, I think you just let him go ahead on and sleep. And, yeah, you act like he's somebody else tonight. We're going to put a different hat on him. Just put a different hat on him. Turn his T-shirt around backwards. We're going to let him be somebody else tonight. You know, you just hang it on in there. Don't worry about what you're missing, because you can chase what you're missing and lose what you got. So don't even worry about
right.
it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, don't risk
you think
it. You
think
he'll
let me dress him up in like a wig and stuff?
Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You got some characters in some of these books and stuff, girl. This time, baby, this is what you're going to wear tonight. When I get home, just jump out the closet. Like, just jump out. I'm going to be surprised and everything. You're just going to beat somebody else tonight. You know what I'm saying? Shoot, don't mess up your track record. You know what I'm saying? Don't mess up your track record. Just keep it going. You know, stay in your marriage and do what you got to do, you know, within your marriage. And when it's over, it's over. You could try something different. But right now, stick with the 31 flavors you got, because flavor 32 might be nasty as hell, so don't do it.
I know that's right. I know that. They out here doing anything. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and even I have an oldest, a 16-year-old, you know, and even he's a boy. So it's like I have to remind him to respect yourself. You know, yeah, you can be a guy and go out here and do everything, but respect yourself at the end of the day, because if you don't, that's how they're going to look at you.
Yeah. Right. That's right. But we thank you for calling and sharing. You know, please stick with us for the rest of the season. It jumps off on July 13th, Sunday, 7 to 9, new season, two new wives, more drama, more secrets, more crazy opinions, and we're going to talk about some good things. We would love for you to call in and, you know, weigh in on some of the subjects, and, you know, we're happy to have you on board with the Writing Royalty crew and the Author Wives.
Nope, no problem. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank
have
you,
a great
Precious.
Evening.
Have a good
night.
You too. Bye-bye. Wow. That was interesting. I love it. I love
yes,
it. Our callers
cool.
are awesome. Our callers are awesome. Our listening fan base are phenomenal. I'm not even going to say fan base. Our listening family. You know, I don't like to use the word fan. I like to use the word family
right.
because they come out and they spend these 2 hours with us while they're cooking dinner or, you know, while they're doing homework with the kids or whatever it is, and they spend this time with us listening to us dabble on about different subjects that cross our desk every day. And, you know, we appreciate them so much. We appreciate the chat room. Miss Eureka, she always come in there and, you know, give us support. You know, different authors come and listen and, you know, lend their advice. And we are very, very blessed and very, very grateful. So we appreciate all of our callers and listeners who call in. But, you know, we want to take a minute. Miss Ambitious, please weigh in on, you know, how you feel about this new season, how you feel about the wives, how you think you're going to fit in with these wives that we got that's already holding down this author wives spot.
Well, I am extremely, you know, excited. Like, you know, first of all, I definitely want to thank you, you know, for even having me and giving me the opportunity to be a part of something, you know, this major. Like, this is major for me. You know, I've listened to the season one show, and it was absolutely epic. You know, Miss Just Fine, Aaron the Ho, mm-hmm. he is an absolute riot. Miss Crazy in Love, Miss Kia, you know it all. Like, you, Miss Capri, it's just, I love it. You know, and I definitely think I'll fit in. When I heard from the first show, I said, oh, yeah, this is for me. I gave Eureka a call. I said, I got this. This is for me, you know, because they relate so well. They relate mm-hmm. so well, you know, to me and, you know, to a lot of things that I've been through in my own life, you know. So I'm definitely excited, and it's going to be a journey. You know, you guys are my new family, so welcome and embrace it, because I am not going anywhere. Even if you kick me off, I'm coming back. I'm coming back every single Sunday. You're like, you kicked off. I'm like, I'm coming back. You cannot get rid of me. I'm like a flag. But I'm excited.
Yes, and we are excited to have you. And I can't wait to hear all the different subjects. I can't wait for you to meet the wives. They're a phenomenal group of women, educated women, ambitious mm-hmm. women, you know, got through some very hard trials and stuff in life and have a lot to offer. And I can't wait for you ladies to meet them. We continue to grow, you know, our family. It's phenomenal. You know, I'm really, really excited about it. Yep. But Miss Big Mouth, yes, weigh in. How did you feel about season one, and what are you looking forward to with the wives that we already have on deck?
Season one hooked me from the first time I listen, and I'm looking forward to going back and forth. I love picking brains. I'm looking forward to going back and forth for all the wives so they can hear these crazy theories and this big mouth from being humble today.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ready? But next
yeah,
time,
well,
the turn will get real.
I know, because when you get on here with Miss Know-It-All, because you know,
oh man.
Lord have mercy. She'll have y'all riding shotgun playing I Bust the Windows Out Your Car to somebody's house. So you got to be ready.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready.
And so with both of y'all all here, we'd be like, I'm sorry, we got to take a small break because Miss Know-It-All and Miss Big Mouth got in the car and they on their way out to handle somebody. So, yeah, we're going to have to be able to keep security in the studio and keep all the wives in their chairs and holding their mic so that they don't run up out of here and hurt somebody, because these subjects get very, very testy. And when we start talking about them, they're side chicks, especially, you know, after what happened to Miss I'm Just Fine. You know, she's in a relationship. She's supporting
right.
him. She's with him. She's
yeah.
believing in all his dreams. And here it is. Mm-hmm. He is sleeping with the graphic artist. He just runs off.
Yeah.
Shenanigans. And leaves her 8 months pregnant, you know, and that
right
there hurt me. Like, I felt And she was like, I'm so happy, Nene, to have this outlet, you know, because it really helped me to be able to talk to other women and know that I have, you know, somebody, you know, on my side that's pulling for me and just to get it out, you know what I'm saying, instead of just holding it in. I am so excited about season two. To be honest with you, we were at first like, who are we going to pick? Who are we going to pick? We were like, oh, my goodness, if they call in, like, if we pick one, we pick two. And I'm going to say this, you know, live and on the air. We have two new wives in the clubhouse, Miss Ambitious and Miss Big Mouth. They will be joining season two. So y'all get ready. We're going to turn it all the way up. We're going to have Miss I'm Just Fine coming back. She's got some wonderful, wonderful announcements to make. She has done some things, and I can't wait. We have Miss Know-It-All, who has revamped her work and is working through her projects. I can't wait to hear what she has going on after we come back from the season break, as well as Miss Crazy in Love. She does the waist training. So she just dropped a book on waist training and is teaching women how to be healthy, you know, mentally and physically. So I can't wait to get the wives back in the clubhouse and weigh in on some of these great, great, great topics. Aaron Bebo went to Hair and Makeup, y'all. And he gets the hair and makeup, and he loses it because the green room is phenomenal. And y'all will see over the season that sometimes you just fall in the hair and makeup, and you get over there, and stuff just goes down. But Aaron went to hair and makeup, and like a half an hour or so ago, and he, like, falls asleep because the couches are mad comfortable in hair and makeup. So Aaron's over there taking a nap and hair and makeup because he, like, eats, like, right before the show. And I continuously tell him not to do that. But, you know, he does that, and then he gets on the couch, and then he falls asleep in the green room. So what can we say? That's what Aaron does. Love him to death. God bless his poor little raggedy soul. You know, that's my wonder twin, but, you know, his wonder twin powers aren't always working. Is there anything that you guys wanted to say or share with the listening audience? We'll be off the air in just a few minutes here. Is there anything you wanted to say or share?
Well, I do Miss Ambitious, otherwise known as Miss Tiana Nicole. I want to share with you guys that my novel is a re-release. It drops tomorrow, Deceitful Temptation. So I would love your support. I would love the feedback. You know, I'm so happy, you know, because I feel like this show in itself, like, it's such a big, major, you know, outlet for me to just grow, you know, because I'm a newbie to the game. And my being new, I just want to grow in this industry and learn everything that I need to learn. But, yes, I will be re-released tomorrow, so stay tuned.
Okay, all right. And we have Miss Big Mouth. Is there anything you want to say to our listeners? What can they expect from you and during this season, you know, with the conversation, with the topic? What can they expect from you?
Expect realness. Expect it to be raw as it comes into my head. Keep a box of tissue with you. I got an issue with what's coming out of my mouth. My mama tell me all the time, but I'm going to give it to you as it's coming in my head. Keep a box of tissue, man. You're dying last. I can't wait to go over these different topics and give my crazy theories. Every time I open my mouth, somebody, you crazy. So I just want to see, is it just them saying it or is it really me?
Right. Okay, well, we're going to get it jumped off. We're going to have, you know, everything going on. I got people hitting me in the inbox now. They are enjoying you two ladies. They're weighing in, and, you know, my loyal callers and listeners, they are excited about this new season. They're loving the new wives, and we're going to have a phenomenal, phenomenal season. Again, it jumps off on July 13th, Sundays. It will be every Sunday, and we will have, I think, about 7 episodes of the show. If it's a holiday, we will skip a week and come back so, you know, we can make sure that you don't miss anything. Please check our archives. If you haven't had the full season one, check the Right and Royalty archives so you'll be able to catch up and get ready for when the wives hit the clubhouse. This topic that we're going to have for the first show is going to blow your minds. You don't want to miss out on season two of The Author Wives. More stories, two new wives, phenomenal, phenomenal tales to tell, secrets, sex, love, hate, whatever it is, it's all going to come out right here live and on the air. I thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. And we're going to jump this thing off. We're going to go ahead on and say goodnight to all of our callers, and then we're going to have to just drop that beat. Go ahead, Miss Alicia.
Everything she got best.